Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalid, and we're holding right here at the Halakha Mishnah. So we've been talking about the different situations of the Hafara of an Av, the Hafara of a Baal, the Hafara of an Orus together with the Baal, and there's one area that we have not spoken about. Besides that, of course, of the almona that the Torah does speak about, that the neder of an almona or a grusha is a completely normal neder, nobody has rights over it. But what we didn't talk about is the interesting case where the orus dies, and we know the normal case the orus dies, we were speaking before about nitrokna reshut la'av. And that was already well defined in all of its different limudim from the pasuk of Binur El Beit Avia, and then the additional limud from Imayotiyeh, and the difference between a neder that had been heard by the Norus and a neder that hadn't been heard by the Orus, and the difference of a situation where there was a second Orus, whether it was on the same day or the day after. All of these things we've already examined, but we neglected to look at one very important thing. What happens if the Orus dies and has a brother? Now, the Orus died without any children, and therefore she is in a state of being a Shomeret Yavam. What's the din of a Shomeret Yavam? Does the Yavam have any rights to her Nedarim? Is he Mefer the way an Orus would? Are we specifically talking about the Shomeres Yavam of an Orus? Does the Shomeres Yavam of a brother who was completely Nasui to her, does he have rights of hafara? Is it considered to be kodmim? How exactly do we view the relationship of the Shomeret Yavam and a Yavama? Says the Halakha Mishnah, Shomeret Yavam, bein li Yavam echad, bein li shnei Yavmin. Now here we get into an issue that, remember, we've spoken about in Masechet Yevamot very often. But here, we'll see it has other implications. In Masechet Yevamot, we went into great detail about the concept of Zika. And Zika is that which the Torah has been mechayev this woman to go ahead with either Yibum or Chalitza, been mechayev the Yavam, and that is a relationship of sorts in which she's Asura to anybody else. Not the same Isser as an Eshes Ish, but as an Isser Lav. And therefore, the question about whether there's one Yavam or two Yavamas was raised in Masechet Yavamas about the power of Zika. Over there was Nogea, the difference between a particular individual that the Torah was Mechayev to do the Yibum versus a case where there's more than one brother. Maybe there's five different brothers that are survivors. Any one of them has the mitzvah that can do Yibum or Chalitza. And over there, we understand that we've basically spread the power of that Zika out because we can't be Mechayev one particular person. And therefore, it's a weaker Zika. In the situation of Nedarim, it's not precisely the same idea. Because remember, over here, when it comes to Nedarim, what we're looking at is not simply the fact of Zika or the power of a Zika, quasi-Zika, in terms of the Kinyan of Yibum. We are looking to the definition of what would be included under Isha Yeferenu, or Isha Yekaimenu. Now, that has all kinds of different issues. We've already examined some of them, and we're going to get back to that again in this Mishnah. Some of them are profoundly psychological. And remember that we've called that entire status sort of what did we call it? I forgot. We used the lotion of Nedarim that are bipolar, you know. And so, in other words, she is, to some extent, the daddy's child, and to some extent, married to her husband. In this case of a Shomeret Yavam, we get into the complications of the fact that there's an interrelationship. Remember, sort of a review on Yavamas, an interrelationship between the brothers as to how they're going to impact the story of this Yavama. Because remember, if any of the brothers gives her a get without doing either Chalitza or Yibum, or if any of the brothers gives her Ma'amar, which is the equivalent of Kiddush. So in these cases, the other brothers are going to be usher to complete a Yibum, and only a brother who gave the Ma'amar would be able to complete the Yibum, but that's only on condition that none of the other brothers got in the way and also gave her a get or something, and then they would ask her on him. So all of these things create a lot of confusion in her mind as well. Because the truth is, even if there is a Yavam who's agreed to take her, she is aware of the fact that, well, she can't really rely on this the way she would rely on the husband, right? Because at any moment, one of the other brothers, who are also Yavamim, could do something that would affect the possibility, the consummation of her current relationship with the Ach that had agreed to do the Yibo. All of these issues are going to be raised here in the Gemara. And, of course...
In their hands, can she reject the Maimer again, mm-hmm. and therefore it's still in her hands?
No, we're talking about where she... Well, obviously, but then what would he do? We're talking... Leave it, Barney. Wait till we get into it a little bit. We're trying to figure out where there would be at least a basis for his being Mefer. And then we're going to try to compare the same case. It was not comparable because of that. Not to create the base out of nothing. So we're not sure over here about anything. We're not sure what we're talking about. Are we talking about an Orus that died, and then the Yavam is going to be taking over the Orus, meaning that he could be Mefer together with a father? Are we talking about one brother? Are we talking about more than one brother? Are we talking about when that brother gave Ma'amar or did not give Ma'amar? All of these questions were left, again, up in the air brilliantly by Rebbe, who forces us to go through all of the different elements of Yibum and Chalitza to try to figure out how these things would impact on the dinim of a Yavam to his Shomeris Yavam. So first, I don't know, it's very, very wide open. It seems to be talking about in a case where a full wife, the husband had died. Doesn't seem to be talking about necessarily the case of an Orus. So all it says is that a Shomeris Yavam, no matter how many brothers there are, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that brother, any one of them, would be able to be Mefer. Well, that is a tremendous Kiddush. In the end, we're going to find out that what we're really talking about over here is a case where he is a Yavam of a brother who died as an Orus, not as a complete Baal. And furthermore, we're going to find out that when we talk about a particular brother being able to be Mefer, it's talking about where he did Ma'amar. So just to give you a little bit of a spoiler about where the Gemara is going, because otherwise things are so wide open that it's very difficult to even concentrate on this. So that's the spoiler. In the end, that's how we're going to come out. But first, we need to get there. So Rebbe Eliezer seems to be saying that we don't even care on the level of Zika. We don't even care how confident she is in the relationship. And this Yavam can be made for all on his own. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, if there's only one brother, maybe that makes sense. Not if there's two brothers. And Rabbi Akiva says, it doesn't make sense to me. Not if there's one brother is Yavam, and not if there's two brothers. So now we don't really know what each one is arguing about with the others. And we're going to have to figure that out slowly by analyzing the language of the questions and answers between them. So now comes along Rebbe Eliezer, and he says to Rebbe Akiva, I don't understand why you're saying that. Look, do we agree that a man who married a woman is Mefer Nedarim? And that's where it was all his own choice. And the case of a Yavama, I mean, over there, the Torah made the choice for him, you know? And she was basically thrust upon him. Don't you think that ought to give him more rights than if he just arbitrarily decided to marry a woman? This is like an ultimate wife, because the Torah declared that she's his wife. So to me, it's a kal v'chomer that ma imisha shekanahu la'atzmo hareyu mefer nidoreha, isha sheiknu lo min hashamayim, eino din sheyafer nidoreha. To which Rabbi Akiva replied, look, there's a big difference, because lo imamret b'isha shekanahu la'atzmo, she'en la'achirim barashut, tomar b'isha sheiknu lo min hashamayim, sheyesh la'achirim barashut, which seems to mean, as we'll see in the continuation of the argument, which seems to mean that he's addressing a case in which there are more than one brother who survived, and therefore we have a question of who exactly is the guy that is supposedly the one that the Torah gave her to. So Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying, well, I mean, there's a big difference between his choice of a wife, where that prohibits anybody else to have relations with her, and therefore he's totally her husband. Mashenkin, in this case, where there's more than one brother, then how can you compare that to a full wife? To which Rabbi Yeshua responds to him, Akiva, Dvorecha b'shnei yabmin. Now, wait a minute here. You seem to be coming over to my side. I saw that there's a difference between two Yavamim and one Yavam, you know. But you answered Rabbi Eliezer something that really doesn't address Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he says, Yafer, I understand, but what about the case in which I and he agree? If there's only one Yavam, you didn't explain that. So therefore, I say to you, Dvorecha b'shnei Yavamim. But what are you going to answer about a Yavam where there's only one surviving brother? And then Rebbe Eliezer gave it a good shot. He says it's a Kal V'chomer, and you're not really responding to that Kal V'chomer. Omar lo, Sir Rebbe Akiva said to him, well, I don't care what we're talking about. I don't care whether there's one or the two. I got to tell you that the bottom line is you will never find a case that a Yavama is the full equivalent of an Arusa. Whoa, wait a minute, an Arusa? We were talking about an Arusa? Well, an Arusa can do Hafara together with a father. So, well, I mean, what Rabbi Akiva seems to be saying is, look, you cannot even compare the status of a Yavama of an Arusa to be able to do a Hafara together with a father. You can't even compare that to an Oros. And we're going to see that what he means is, that, look, if somebody is married to a woman and someone else sleeps with her, he's going to be chayav misa. If someone is a yavam to a woman, whether it's one or two, makes absolutely no difference, a yavam alashuk is not a chayav misa. I don't care how you read it, says Rabbi Akiva. And I don't give a hang what you did about it. I don't care whether you gave her kedushin even, which would only be ma'amar derabbanan. That wouldn't make her the equivalent of a full Arusa, would it? So what are you comparing things for? It's not the same. In terms of the Kinyan and the uniqueness of the relationship that prohibits adultery, it's obviously not a dedicated relationship on that level. Okay, so now let's take a look and try to zero in on what the case is by examining the discussion. So look, Rabbi Akiva, we could simply say, there's no problem at all in understanding Rabbi Akiva because we have a long-standing issue in Masechet Yevamot we've discussed so often. What is the status of this Zika? Remember that the word Zika had many levels of interpretation, and the issue over here is, what is the status of Zika binogea the extent of the connection? There's three possibilities. Zika can just be the description of the fact that the Torah demands that something be done. So you can't just turn your back on it. You're going to have to do something, either Yibum or Chalitza, and the Bezdin will get involved to that extent. But that's it. In terms of its definition of a Kinyan, there's no Kinyan. And therefore, we call that level of understanding Zika, Ein Zika. Meaning Ein Zika in terms of creating a relationship of Ishas. So, okay, there were definitely many Shitas that we had like that in Yavamas, and that would be Rabbi Akiva's starting point. Zika is not a relationship of Ishas, not the equivalent of Erisin, and not the equivalent of Nisuin, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. Not Rabbi Eliezer and not Rabbi Yeshua. You're making a false comparison, and it certainly is no Kal V'chomer. Okay, that's a straightforward way to understand it. Rabbi Yoshua, he holds that Yesh Zika, and that would be that there would be one particular person that is going to go ahead and do the Yibam, because there's only one brother. So then we can be Miyached that Zika and say that it creates a Kinyan. Now, as far as what Kinyan, we don't know yet. Does it turn her into an Arusa? Does it turn her into an Asua? That's a separate machlokas, and we still don't know what our case is in the Mishnah. But I'm not sure I understand Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, even if he holds yesh zika, and let's say, this is the way that I think is the best way to understand the Gemara, even if we say that yesh zika and zika creates a status of erusin, still, it's not going to help you here. Why? Because ein breira. Again, let's not understand this the way we'd normally understand ein breira. Remember that ein breira generally means that we do not view the outcome of something as in any way expressing what was initially defined. And the outcome itself is simply an outcome that was in the beginning completely able to have worked out in any way. And this is just a statistical outcome, as Rashi explains it elsewhere. There is no such thing as a predetermined outcome of any process. And therefore, ein breira, that is not what it means over here. Even if you would hold that in simple questions about was the Erev to the east or was the Erev to the west, the classic questions of when the information is created, was that information inherent in the Erev originally or not? That's not the point here. Even if you hold that it would be a good Erev, it is not a good husband. That's the point here. Because when we talk about Isha, we're talking about, remember, a conscious relationship, not a relationship to whatever will work out in the end, and then I find out now 20 years later. That's not what we're talking about. There's got to be a husband, an identifiable husband, that is going to be Mefer, on whose das she made this neder. Because that's how we understood the entire relationship of Hafara. It is an ongoing and extant relationship, not one that will make itself known at some particular time. So I don't give a hang if, technically speaking, yesh breira, that is not the point. How would we create a case of a real isha yeferena if there is no isha? And don't give me this time travel jazz. She's not a time traveler. She needs to know who her husband is, and she doesn't know. That's what's important.
So, I have a sequel, The Time Traveler's Yubaba.
That's good. Yes, indeed, The Time Traveler's Yubaba. Okay. But over here, she would have to be the Yubaba as time traveler, which is different. I see that Baruch Avram has never read The Time Traveler's Wife, in which she's definitely suffering a big hefset, and I strongly recommend that he go for it. I think it would change a lot. Yeah. Okay. So now, how do you explain Rabbi Eliezer, who says even if there's more than one Yavam, he is considered to be a husband? Omer Rabami, listen, you guys are missing a very important point over here. We're talking about where the Yavam went ahead and made Ma'amar. Ooh. Now that changes everything. If the Yavam went ahead and made Ma'amar, so then there is at least a Kenyan that Midrabbanan is a Kenyan similar to Kedushin. So that's different. And if Rebbe Eliezer holds, like Beit Shammai, you remember Beit Shammai in Yevamot, Beit Shammai holds that the Din of Ma'amar is not just the Dirabbanan. The Din of Ma'amar is that it's a real Kedushin, and that from the moment that a Yevam makes Ma'amar, he can give her a get and does not need to give her Chalitza. Unbelievable. Why? Because Ma'amar turned her into his wife. And therefore, we call that Ma'amar Kona Kinyan Gamur. So if Rebbe Eliezer holds like Beit Shammai, so then, great. If that's the case, then there's nothing to discuss. We understand that if he made Ma'amar, he is her husband. That's all there is to it. And therefore, we understand Rebbe Akiva Shita. And we also understand Rebbe Eliezer Shita. Now, what about Rebbe Yoshua now coming back to you? Rebbe Yoshua Amar Lach, Hani Mili Bechad Yava, Avo Bishnei Yabmin Lo. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if there's more than one brother, what happens if the other brother, even according to Beit Shammai, I'm ready to say, Look, I'm not going to tell you whether you want to learn like Beit Shammai or not. But even if you hold like Beit Shammai, you're going to have to recognize that this is not a proper comparison. According to Beit Shammai, if the guy gave her ma'amar, and he never ended up consummating that ma'amar to be an actual act of yibum, what happens if one of the other brothers goes ahead and gives her a get? What if one of those other brother goes ahead and sleeps with her? What happens then? Even Beit Shammai is moda that then there's a big problem. And now he is unable to actually complete that ma'amar. And now there would be an interruption of his rights to the yibum because of the fact that the other brother did an action that prevented it from being chal. So how can you compare a case where we have a real kinyan, which is, yes, I agree with you if you want to hold like Beit Shammai. If there's one brother, we have a real kinyan. But certainly it's not a real kinyan if there's another brother who can prevent that kinyan from ever being chal if you didn't sleep with her yet. Mi'ika midi. Can you conceive of a situation that in the event of chiyati achoi, that if one of the brothers, the other brothers, would come along and he would either sleep with her or give her a get, that the brother who is currently the mimer holder should be viewed as a real husband when this woman knows, you know, at any minute, this whole thing could just fall apart. You know? I mean, what if somebody goes and gives me a get from the other brothers? Then I'm really messed up. So therefore, how could she possibly consider that to be a real husband? So such a husband should be able to be mayfair when he obviously is not a real husband. So therefore, we now understand all of the various approaches on this initial simple level of looking at it. So again, we're talking about an orus, perhaps. We don't know that yet. But we're talking about a situation where he made ma'amar, and we're talking about a question of whether ma'amar le-Beit Shammai makes a complete kinyan, and we have a problem about how to understand even that, Libet Beit Shammai, in the event that there are two Yapmi. Rabbi Akiva, as we said before, he holds that there is Bichlal, no Zika, not between even the level of an Orus. Ein Zika means that there's no Kinyan at all. And obviously, he does not hold of Ma'amar being able to be Kinyan. He certainly doesn't hold of Beit Shammai. So everything seems to be clear, but not really. Because, I mean, what about according to Rabbi Elazar? This is not Rabbi Eliezer. What about according to Rabbi Elazar, who has a different understanding of Beit Shammai's halacha of Ma'amar Kena Kinyan Gomer? So the way we've been assuming Ma'amar Kena Kinyan Gomer is that he can then go ahead, the one who did Ma'amar, he doesn't have to do chalitza. If he decides he doesn't want to do chalitza, he can give her a get, and that get will act as any get would to a real wife, without a need for chalitza, because the mimer transformed her into a real wife. That may not be what Beit Shammai meant when he said mimer kodei kinyan gomer. He might have meant something entirely different. And what would that be? So let me jiggle your memories a little bit about some of our interesting situations that we ran into back in the Masechet Yevamot, where we had a case of many brothers. One of these brothers dies. Two of the brothers are married to two sisters. You remember all of those wonderful cases, right? So we got two brothers married to two sisters, another brother who is just not involved in the sisters. So a brother married to one of the sisters dies. The third brother goes ahead, and he is now, he does mimer, let's say, right? Okay. Now the other brother dies, the one who was married to the other sister. And now that means that this guy, the third brother, who was not married to either of these sisters, he's in a tough position because since he never consummated the relationship with the first brother's wife, she is technically midiraisa. She is only a zikuka, correct? But if you hold yesh zika, then we have a problem, because the fact that he is a zikuka, without any further ado, means that now he can't marry either of these sisters. Because the second sister that falls to him now with the death of his second brother is actually a real Yavama, Midiraisa, because the issue of a chot zikuka being like an erva is only a Drabonan concept. They asked a chot zikuka as if he's actually married to her. So now he can't marry either one. If he takes the first one, she is a chot zikukato of the second one, because even though he never did mimer on the second one, but the Torah said, hey, buddy, what are you going to do about this girl? So that's Zika. And he can't take the first one and the second one, for sure, because, I mean, she's achot zikukato umamaro, right? But Beit Shammai says, according to Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Elazar, what Beit Shammai said is, no, Mimer is kone kinyan gomer vis-a-vis this issue and this issue alone. Having done Ma'amar, she now creates a relationship that makes her an erva if she would fall, these other sister would fall to him. The other sister is now achot isha. And what's the din if an erva falls to Yibam? There's no din in Yibam. She walks away. No chalitza, no Yibam, no problem. Well, it's exactly what happens over here, according to Beit Shammai. Since even though he never consummated the marriage with the first brother's wife, however, having done Ma'amar, he has created a situation in which any further sisters that fall are all going to be achot ishto. But you'll say, but how is it ishto? It's ishto because of his mimer. It's more than achot zikukato. That's the inyan of Ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. It does not mean, however, Ma'amar kone kinyan gamur, that he doesn't need to do yibum or chalitza. He can't just give her a get. Fine. So what about according to Rabbi Elazar, who believes that the only meaning of Ma'amar, according to Beit Shammai, it's only kona for this one issue, namely, litchot pitzara, that if this sister's, this woman's sister, who is now going to be her tzara, this is the idea now of the question of the other sister, that this other sister now becomes a complete erva, and therefore she doesn't even fall to her at all. And so because of that, according to him, we actually have a real issue over here of mamish tzarat erva. She is an erva. Anybody that was married to her at the same time, all of that is true, but not that he doesn't have to do yibum or chalitza. So then, even when there's two yabmin, we have exactly the same problem. According to Rebbe Eliezer here, if this is the correct understanding of Beit Shammai, we don't have an option to say, well, Rebbe Eliezer is not a problem because he holds a Beit Shammai and one of them did Ma'amar. So what? Even if you hold a Beit Shammai and one of them did Ma'amar, that doesn't mean that he's a real husband. So you don't need to come on to Rabbi Yeshua's question. Well, what happens if the other brother goes ahead and is bail her, or the other brother goes ahead and gives her a get? Forget about that. Even without that, they're not really married. We're not talking about over your sisters or anything. It's irrelevant that he holds like Beit Shammai. That's a arcane kind of situation that Beit Shammai addresses. That's the way Rabbi Elazar understands it. So then this wouldn't even make sense at all. We do have an option. Let's imagine a case in which there are two brothers that survive. One of these brothers is very smart. He sees what's going to happen. Oh, no. Anything but this Yibum jazz. Well, it's a good thing I have some business in Timbuktu. I'll see you guys in a couple of years. Bye. So anyway, he's on his way, and it's see you later, alligator. So now what happens? So this Yavama is left with one Yavam who says, well, now wait a minute. I mean, you know, my older brother, he's in Timbuktu. Why don't we just wait for him to come back and so on? The din is over there. That no, the best thing goes after him. And if he doesn't perform, so then the Besdin does the same thing that it does to an Orus who doesn't perform. And it makes him support her. Ah, but we already said that in the event that someone is supporting a woman, So then she views him as a husband. And therefore, based on our wonderful halakha that we had from Rav Pinchas, remember, the halakha is that as long as we're going after his bank account, he can go after her nedarim. So that's the case, maybe. Boy, this mishnah is getting awfully complicated. We're talking about a mishnah that seemed to be discussing a general condition in which a yavam can be made for. Now it turns out, well, a yavam can be made for if he did ma'amar, or if the other yavam ran away and the bezdin went after him and was koveya that he's supposed to be providing her parnasa, and you hold of Rav Pinchas that you can be made for nedarim even though you're not really married to her, etc., etc. Yeah, okay, I understand. So you figured out a case. All right. So according to Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, we just had the Mishnah before. Kol ha-noderet al da'at ba'alah, he noderet. So therefore, that must be what this is all about here too. Kol ha-noderet al da'at ba'alah, he noderet. And that would explain why it is that Rabbi Eliezer is willing to go for this. That the case is that he could be made for only because of this special halacha. Maybe that's the pshat. Okay. Now, the question is whether this is going to be consistent with everybody's halacha elsewhere. Let's take a look at this. What did Rabbi Eliezer say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer said, remember, according to Rabbi, we're talking about where the guy went ahead and did ma'amar. Now, can we analyze Rabbi Eliezer's statement and see if that's possible? Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Akiva, or Chavrom, you with us? Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Akiva, Uma im isha shekana la'atzmo, harehu mefer nidoreha, isha sheiknolo min hashamayim, Enodin shebefer nedarea. Now, wait. What isha shiknalo min hashamayim? You said that the only way that this works, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is that he did ma'amar. But ma'amar is kedushin. So how is this a woman that they gave him min hashamayim if the only reason that Rabbi Eliezer is claiming that he can do it is because she is a God-given predetermined wife? She's no God-given predetermined wife. He had to go and do ma'amar in order for any of this to make sense. So, I mean, that can't be what the Mishnah is referring to, right? This he's calling a min hashamayim? This is a classic case, kanal atzmo. So in what way was she given to him min hashamayim? Well, what he's saying is that obviously a kedushin, which is after a zika, that so to speak, min hashamayim, we defined her as a wife. Now he goes and confirms that by going ahead and giving ma'amar and making it specific to him. Don't you think that that would be more powerful than just going around and making her a wife? Oh, wait a minute. But then that means, if that's true, that what you're saying is that she is a real wife. But is that so clear? We don't really know how ma'amar works, because this was a standing question we had back in Yevamos. When you do ma'amar, according to Beit Shammai, and you say, that makes her a wife, what kind of wife? An arusa or an nesua? Does he still have to take her to the chuppah? Or is it all completed? She's 100% a wife. This is okay. All the questions about Yerusha, about being Mitamela, if he's a Kohen, and so on and so forth, right? These are very serious issues. A lot of big differences between an Arusa and an Asua. So according to Beit Shammai, if Ma'amar works, how much does it work? I don't know. Can we trust Baruch Avram's assurances, or must we have a chip inserted so that we get a readout? I think we're safer with a chip, right? I mean, look, Ain Brera here, you know, we just said, I mean, we're not going to, you know, ex post facto, he keeps waking up and insisting he was up. But does that really work as Brera Lamafreya? This is a big issue here. Okay. So now the Shaila is, this would mean that we are now claiming, you're saying, that he can do a hafara just on the basis of a ma'amar, so then that is the solution to Rabbah's question. Remember, Rabbah was the one who raised the issue of ma'amar lebeit shemai, erusinosa o nisuinosa. So now we see very clearly that the only way to understand it is that if the Mishnah is meant to present a reasonable shita of Reb Eliezer, the only way that we ended up understanding that shita was that it's talking about, according to Reb Eliezer, in a case where we have two yatmin, that they one of them went ahead and did ma'amar, and in doing ma'amar, he now becomes a husband who can do afara. So how could he just be an orus? He obviously is married. How did he get married? Ma'amar. So there's your answer. Tifshot nisuino said, this proves that according to Beit Shammai, we are talking about total marriage. Because if all that it would do was erisinoisa, so then how does Reb Eliezer justify the fact that this guy can be made for Nedorim all on his own? Doesn't the Mishnah say at the beginning of the Perek, Hatnan, Na'araham Urasa, Avia Uvala Mefirin Nedoreha? But in this case, there is no Avia. I mean, we're assuming that her husband died, right? After marrying her. And now there's no daddy. And that, I mean, even if there is a daddy, he doesn't have any rights. So now when this guy goes ahead and he does Ma'amar and he's able to be made for Nedorim, it would be because he's a full husband. And there's no other way to understand our Mishnah, right? So that's the understanding, basically, of Rabbah's question. Here's Uriah from our Mishnah. Oh, no, I don't know about that, says the Gemara. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about an orus who died, not a husband who died. If a husband died, there's no father, right? Because once she was Yotzim Rishus Av, even for a moment, then it makes no difference what the status of the Yovam is. It only makes a difference that there's no father. And therefore, how are you going to be able, if unless he remarries her and he's fully married to her, how would he be able to be made for Nedarim? Must be, therefore, that it doesn't issue in. Answers, Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, how do you know that that's the case the Mishnah is referring to? Maybe the Mishnah is referring to the case where his brother was an orus. Continuing on, after all, the discussion that the perek began with. Nara murasa avia ubala, bala referring to the orus, mefir nidoreha, and in the event that the orus dies, now we have these three shitot, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva. So, it's a smooth transition now to our Mishnah. And what we're talking about is yafer b'shutafut. Doesn't mean yafer on his own, even though it means loshen yachid, yafer, not yaferu, but yafer on his own, that part that was originally given to an orus to be yafer. He now can be yafer, that part on his own, meaning without anything to do with the other brothers who are yabmin. That's what it means. And that we can choose this one guy and he can go ahead and be made for. Tanya Namahachi. In fact, I am going to show you that if you look at this Braita, you will see that the Braita is based on assuming Reb Ami's case. All of these things that we thought were, man, oh man, I mean, we took a Mishnah and we mangled it. Like we made it into all of these kind of things that it had to be talking about it. Whoa, holding like Beit Shammai, or that he did Ma'amar, and that, oh gosh. But it turns out that there's actually a Braisa that supports the entire situation here that Reb Ami created, and that Reb Eliezer indeed is talking about a case where we have multiple Yatmin, and one of them did Ma'amar, and that it ends up that he's going to be doing this maybe b'shutafut, and not on his own. Tanya Nami Hochi, Krebi Ami. Look at this Braita, you'll see that it's like Reb Ami. Here's the case. Shomeret Yava. Bin Yavam Echad, Bin Shnei Yivami. So Reb Eliezer says, Yafer. Reb Yeshua Omer, well, if there's one, yes, but not if there's two. Reb Akiva Omer, not one, not two. Forget about it. Okay, so far, we're just restating in well, the words that we use in the Mishnah, right? Okay, now let's take a look at some subtle differences in the description of the ensuing conversation between the various shitot in the Mishnah, because there are some very serious additional points that are raised over here, very subtle, but still. Let's take a look at what Rabbi Eliezer says in this case. Uma im isha she'ein lo chelek ba'at shelo tavo l'reshuto. Mi shebat l'reshuto nigmera lo. Huh? Oh, wait. That's not what he said in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, he just talked about the fact, what if a woman that you took on your own versus a woman that was given you min hashamayim, right? Now, look at the language over here, and you'll see very clearly that it is talking about ma'amar, because these words don't even make any sense. Look what it says over here, that if in a case where he had nothing to do with this woman before she became his wife, meaning through Erison. And even over there, he is able to be made fair. Once she goes in and becomes his, meaning that he gave her her Kiddushin, so he can go ahead and be made fair, her Nedarim, of course, together with her father. Isha she yesh lo chelek at shelo tavo l'reshuto. Achalota vola reshuto? What is that supposed to mean? A woman that he never had anything to do with, I mean, that he does have something to do with even before he takes her into reshus. So kol shekein, once she comes into reshus, isn't it obvious that he can, eino din, shetig morlo? Isn't it clear that now, if she had Zika before, now, when she becomes Kenuyalo, with what? With Mamar. I mean, obviously, he's not talking about when he made her his wife, because if he did, so then she's her normal Nesua. Oh, gosh. So it's, Rabbi Eliezer even presents the case to us directly, the way Rabbi Ami explained it. There's no other way to understand what he's talking about over here. What is this Mishanigmaralo, Mishabalarishu? So this makes no sense. It means he's taking for granted in his discussion with Rabbi Akiva that he's trying to support the issue of Ma'amar. Okay, now let's take a look at the response. Omar la Rabbi Akiva. Well, lo im amarta b'isha shekanahu la'atzmo, shekeshem she'en lo chelek bo, kach en la'acherim chelek bo. Tomar b'isha shekanahu min ha'shamayim, shekeshem she'yesh lo chelek ima, so too do acherim have chelek ima. And now this is a quote from the Mishnah, and it is not really directly relevant to the changes that we just saw, because the Braita only want to get into the elements that are nogea, these changes. So let's see what happens here. This comes along Rabbi Yeshua, and he says, Akiva, dvarecha b'shnei yevamim, how are you going to explain that if there's only one yavam, other people have reshus? Omar lo, listen, baby, let me tell you something over here. Did I ever say that there was any difference between one Yavam, two Yavams, making Mimer, not making Mimer? You're the guys that came up with all of this nonsense. Rabbi Akiva, where did we ever talk about that? We were talking about making Mimer, not making Mimer. Where'd you get that from? He knew all along that it was all based on Rabbi Ami, you see? So that's what he's saying. Don't give me this garbage. There's one bottom line issue, and that's the only way to think about it. You're confusing yourselves, okay? The bottom line issue is very simple, and that is, if we admit, and all of us admit, that a situation of Ma'amar does not create the equivalent of a woman for other things, namely, is somebody who sleeps with her going to be Chayav Misa? No. So what are we talking about? Why are you making these silly comparisons of a woman who isn't a wife to a woman who is a wife? That's the bottom line. You can give me all you want, all your stories about making mama, not making mama, having one brother. You're just confusing yourselves. I'm not going to get involved in this nonsense. And therefore, the bottom line is, it's no different than kishar devarim, kenedarim. If we're ready to admit that it's not the same as marriage, then you need to accept the fact that that's true about Afaras Nedarim. B'lashon Hazeh Amar Ben Azai, after hearing Rabbi Akiva cutting down to the core and getting through all of the nonsense, Ben Azai says, Hey, Chaval Alecha Ben Azai, you're wasting your life. Shalashimash says Rabbi Akiva. You should have learned how to think from Rabbi Akiva. What a disaster. So now, let me explain to you. So, I mean, just in case you didn't catch it, obviously we all understood immediately what the point is here. So when we're saying, we said this is, Bryce is 100% proof to Rabami, right? So what do I mean? Let me just spell it out to you, okay? So my, when we say, Tanya Kabasid Rabami, well, there's so many things here that are like Rabami. Look, first of all, why was Rabbi Akiva talking about Mamar? Where do you get that from? Why did Rabbi Akiva say, Bencha Saba Mamar, Bencha Loasa Mamar? I mean, where did that come from? Obviously, it came from his understanding that the only case that Rabbi Eliezer could possibly be referring to, if there were Shnei Yabmin, would be that they made Mamar. Or, you know what? I don't need to go to Rabbi Akiva to prove that. Read the words of Rabbi Eliezer himself, and you'll see that that's true. Look what he said in the Reisha. Misha nichmes al reshuto nigmarolo. Well, what nichmes al reshuto? What are you talking about? This is just a Yevama who was never nichmes al reshuto. I mean, if he didn't do Maimer, he'd alo Kaddish. So what are we talking about, nigmarolo, now that she came into Shushos? So obviously, what Rebbe Eliezer is taking for granted, he's only talking to you about Kishasa b'Maimer. Okay, the Braisa makes this 100% clear. Chaval al azman. Oh, okay, just what did he mean about the bottom line over there when he said, Ukishar dvarim kenidorim diktari? What exactly would he mean? Oh, my Rabbi, he meant the obvious thing. Okay, look, are you guys arguing with me about the question of if somebody else commits adultery with her? Is there going to be a chiyuv of skila? She's a nara murasa. Iatamoda shein chayovim skila kenara murasa? There's no real marriage over here. So clearly, mamar is not the equivalent to marriage. What do you want? Omer Ravashi, you know what? That's actually very clear from our Mishnah. Because that's what those words mean. When Rabbi Akiva says, as his bottom line, Ein Yevama Gemura Li'isha Geshem She'arusa Gemura Li'isha. So, I mean, first of all, this makes it very clear that we're talking about an Arusa, okay? This is number one. And it also makes it very clear that the issue that bothers us is the fact that she's not really a wife as defined by the implications of the uniqueness of the relationship. That's what a wife means. That's what the Kinyan of Ishas means. It's not some additional point. That's why Ben Azai was floored that we got involved in this discussion. How do we define Ishut? If not by the inviolate nature, that's what Kedushin means, right? You are Asura Akule Alma Kehegdish, as the Gemara explains in Kedushin. Well, how do we talk about a Kedusha where she's not Asura Akule Alma Kehegdish, for God's sake? And there's not going to be a Chi of Misa if somebody takes her. So that's a throw out everything, says Rabbi Akiva. This is all a bunch of wasted time, that's all. And that's clear from the way that he explained it initially. Even in Arusa, in which there is already an Isser, forget about Nisua. So there is a special relationship of an Ara Murasa. Is she an Ara Murasa? Of course not. Therefore, there's no point in our thinking about whether the Yavam is able to be made for Nidorim. Now, what about the father? We have not discussed that. Is the Nisrokna Rishus La'aviha, which, remember, if there would be a second Orus, or Mr. 99 Orus on the wall, that there would be still a need for the Orus in order to be made for Nidorim, what would be true over here? Do we say that if there's the presence of a Yavam, that messes things up for the father or not? And the Moran ends up asking over here that basically, of course, we still say Nisrok Rishus La'aviha if she made the neder while she was an Arusa. But what would be the din about Nidorim that she makes when there is a Yavam? And that's not so poshut, and the Ran does not have a clear-cut psak on that issue, because Lechora, there's somebody there, but it's not someone there, that is to say, another power besides the father, and not someone who could be mishtatev with the father in terms of the hafora. So, wow. That part is not clear. Okay. The Lashon in the Rambam is mashma that it would make no difference when she made the neder, because his Lashon is Ha'av levado hu shemefir kol shetidor afilu asaba ha'yavam ma'amar. So that would be the father being able to be the sole arbiter of her nedarim, and the yavam basically not being in the picture of the rights to nedarim at all, and therefore he also doesn't get in the way of nisrok l'mershus la'av, which is a very clear-cut way of looking at it. It's only where we need to take the rights away from somebody else to give it to the av. If that person has no rights, such as the case of the yavam, so then how could he get in the way of the hafara of the father? Rabbi Yisai, it's been glorious. And I'm glad that most of you, at least, have been willing to stick it out. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow in further...
Some people wonder why Nedarim is in Seder Nashim. The thing that some people wonder about that.
That is strange, isn't it? I mean, once you see it, it's amazing. You have no idea of how completely unaware people are. I mean, totally. I'm talking about the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. Absolutely no idea. They don't see the interrelationship over here at all. It's funny. I just, Moshe David was here earlier. You're there, Moshe David. So he's learning with the guy that is the, basically the Rosh Hashiva of the entire Mir, the Hasidish Mir. So he's giving over to all of his Talmidim this and yet. He's talking to Moshe David, trying to figure out. I mean, after what did he say to you, Moshe David? Have to explain to him the.
He was trying to tell me in general about the need to talk with our women, and how it's weirdly interrelated in women's minds to sexuality, and men always surprise me that they find that their wives want to talk first. And so then I gave him Rebbe's explanation of why speech is indeed a psychosexual tool that we have. And I explained it, and he was baffled completely. He's never heard anything like it so clearly and so experientially.
Amazing. It's like, it's just incredible. Like, how do you say they say this of all of the inyanim? Like, nothing. Okay, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. All right, Kol Tov, everyone. Hope to see you tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. Shavua Tov u'mevorach. Hinei El Yeshuati, Eftach v'lo Efchat.